Oh, it's time to get in the Word. How many are ready for the teaching of the Word today? It's going to be good. You're going to love it. Tell the person beside you, you're going to love this message. And then tell the other person on the side, I don't tell a lie. It's going to be a great message. Amen. You're going to love it today. I want you to turn to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. And this is a series we started last week. Just going a couple weeks on this and just teaching here. On a teaching called Holy Pockets. Some of you want H-O-L-Y pockets, but you have H-O-L-E-Y pockets. And when you get to Haggai, I'll give you the background of it just a little bit more. But the problem with God's people at this point is nothing is satisfying them in their wealth, in their relationships. Nothing satisfies what they have. And God says, I'm going to tell you why. It seems like whenever you get something that's blessed, whenever you get a new relationship, you get a new boyfriend, get a new girlfriend, get a new job, some of you got a brand new church you're coming to, why it's like holes in your pocket and it just doesn't last. This is probably one of the deepest things I've ever taught because so many people make it about dollars and cents, and he just drives down to the real issue of relationship with him. I mean, it's powerful. So here's what they're having. They can't figure out why things aren't going right. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. Ready? This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. In other words, you're working harder. You're on third shift now. It's not working for you. But you are not satisfied. You drink and are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You want to fix it? He says, now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Remember, that was code language because in the Old Testament, he dwelled in the temple. He wanted to be present. He wanted relationship with people. It's not about a building. It's not about brick and mortar. It was about sending his presence so he could be with what he loved. That was the people. Look at what he says. Then I will take pleasure in it and be what? Honored. This is about worship, what you're worshiping. Honored, says the Lord. Says the Lord. You're going to get so blessed out of this today. I'm telling you, I hope you are ready to receive because I'm ready to give it. So look at your neighbor, high five him, and tell him, say, God wants you blessed, not stressed. Go ahead and tell him that. Amen. So here's the deal. So here were the people of God. Now remember, at this point, they are returning from being in Babylonian captivity for over 70 years. They were there 70 years because they rebelled against God. King David, in his heyday, you remember he built the temple. You remember how he gave like 100 and something tons of gold and 260 tons of silver out of his own personal finances to build a place because it was about the Spirit of God ministering to people. But those days are long gone. Go listen to the teaching of the series. Download the app and go listen to it because you need context to this. But I'm going to just rehash just a little bit of this. So now they've rebelled, and now King Nebuchadnezzar has just decimated and wiped out Jerusalem. He has torn down the temple. He had a scorched earth policy and left nothing. And now he takes all these people of God, the Jews, and puts them in Babylonian captivity. They can't eat. They can't drink. They can't think. They can't do nothing with their families because they are ruled by King Nebuchadnezzar. Brutal, brutal. Well, during that time, you know the story. If you understand history, King Cyrus, he came in and overthrows Babylon. He takes Babylon captive. But then God puts a benevolent heart in Cyrus toward the people of God who have been in bondage for 70 years. And he says, here's the deal. I want you to go back to Jerusalem. God puts it in this man's heart. I want you to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild it. But I want you to go rebuild the temple. Go rebuild it. He said, let the presence of God come back to you and your families and your nation. The presence of God. They don't have nothing. They're in captivity. They got no dime. So here's what Cyrus does. Cyrus, God lays it on Cyrus's heart. Bless my people. So here he goes. And they got their bags ready. Now, for those, how many were here last Sunday? Okay, just make it clear. This is not a purse. Okay? I'm a man. It's not a purse. Okay? Man bag. Okay? He starts blessing them. And God said the primary function of this was, first, you all have been in slavery. Things have been taken from you. And he starts overloading them and uses Cyrus, the world, to bless them. And they start filling up. And he says, but the first priority is to build the temple. Well, they go in with all this. I mean, God's just piling it on. Piling it on. And he says, go build the temple. But here's what they do. They get there and start building the foundation of the temple, which is about God's presence being with people. 2 months, they start. And they get discouraged. And they start thinking, we're not going to have any enough for us. 2 months. And then they quit. God gives them this, and they're given back to God. 2 months, blessing him. But then they stop. Do you know how long they stopped? When Haggai wrote this to them, it was 16 years later that they have not even finished up what they were supposed to do. So here's what they did. Go read the story. They start saying, well, wait a minute. We got kids. We need to get out of the two-seater. We need a Dodge Caravan. Well, wait a minute. God's got his house, but wait a minute. We need to add on. We need to add on to the house. And he said, you live in your luxurious homes. They're taking what God gave them and put it back in themselves. And so here's what happened. Now it's affecting their marriages, their relationships. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to weave this all together because you're making it about money. We always do it. But God says, this is about my relationship. And now it's affecting your national spirituality. It's affecting your marriages. It's affecting your resources, even your companies. And even when you get something, you're not satisfied. Why? Because it's like you're putting money. So here's what they do. They stop blessing God. And they said, well, what about us? What about ours? And he says, it's like you got holes in your pocket. And you think I'm not seeing it. But when you put it in your pocket, you just keep losing more and more and more. You got you a new relationship. You got you a new career. You've changed your career path for the fifth time and nothing satisfies. And he said, there's a reason why that's happening. It's like putting, when you don't put me first and you don't honor me, you keep putting in your pocket. But he says, there's holes in your relationship, holes in your soul. There's holes in your relationship with your family. He said, because it all affects because you lack honor of who I am. Friends, how many of you know God doesn't want us to have holy, H-O-L-E-Y pockets? How many of you know that when we start worshiping him and obeying him, he gives us holy, H-O-L-Y, not broke pocket. He gives us blessed pocket, not torn pockets. He gives us treasured pockets. Come on. How many of you know he starts blessing his people with favor? And he says, here's the answer to this. He says, what you need to do, he says, is go back and honor me. Now, what's that word honor code language for? Here's what it is, folks. Here's what it is. He goes, you stopped worshiping me. In other words, I'm not the center of your worship. Now, remember what that means. Whatever you worship begins to be the lordship of your life. I don't care what it is. Whatever is worshiped the most becomes Lord in your life. And it's not about the God can be your power, your position. You're addicted to power. You're addicted to being always seen and got to be the one that's being noticed. You're addicted to insecurities because of that. He says, whatever is worshiped becomes Lord. Now, here's the deal. Whatever becomes Lord means it's what has ownership over my life. So it means it has control over who I am and how I react. And he said, and this is what's happening to you. He goes, this is not about money. He said, you're making this all about possessions and money. And that's what happens. Boy, when you teach this kind of stuff in church, oh my goodness, people would rather have a root canal than this. And they're going, I knew it. I get in church and he's going to talk about money. You see, because what's happened is the enemy has thrown your scent off and made it about money when the Lord is saying, what this is about is you've lost worship of me. So now you don't honor me, so what you worship becomes Lord, and what becomes Lord controls you. And the way we can tell what controls you is by the way you react when that very thing is threatened. When your position at work is threatened, When you don't get enough Instagram likes is threatened. When all of a sudden you don't have, when all of a sudden your marriage is threatened. Someone starts winking at your boyfriend and you get threatened. You go ballistic because it's an indicator of what you're worshiping. And that thing that indicates worship actually means it owns you. That's why you're controlling and behaving this way in the marriage, in the relationship, and in your money and everything. He says, you have made it. See, the enemy always throws our scent off and got some of you already going this way. I'm just telling you, he says, this is about your relationship with me. And he says, if you'll get back to making me worshiped and honored and let me start showing you which direction to go, you will live with pockets that are overflowing in every area of your life. So the deal about this is Jesus was pointing out this is really about who rules your life and who's really in control. So that's why Jesus, ready? Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 13. This is why Jesus, I'm going to recap this from last week, tells this. He says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. There's no middle ground. Or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. And then he says this. You cannot serve God and what, everybody? Mammon. So some of you may be new here, maybe not new in the scripture, going, mammon, what's mammon? What's mammon? Well, immediately in that culture, they knew exactly what mammon was because they remember it from the years of Babylonian captivity that their generations before them had. Mammon was a Syrian god of riches. It was worship, a god of riches, and guess where it was? Babylon. These people were 70 years under the spirit of mammon in Babylon, and here's what the spirit of Babylon says. Babylon first means arrogance and pride. What's what it means? Self-sufficiency. It also means confusion and chaos. But here's what they thought. Mammon was the spirit of riches, and when you worship, they believed that we don't need God. That's why we're building this tower. We don't need God as long as we've got wealth, positions, put it wherever you want. As long as I got this boyfriend, this girlfriend, I got this person, I got this job, I got this career, I got this in the bank, and my 401k, as long as I've got this, I don't need God. I don't need to consult God. But with the spirit of mammon comes the spirit of confusion. So the relationship and the marriage is even more confused. The career path is more confused. The money situation is more confused. And it dilutes you into thinking if you can get it, then you'll finally be happy. That's what mammon does. If I can finally get this boyfriend, I'll really be a woman. If I can really get married, then I'll really be complete. It dilutes you to thinking that you're complete when you get it. Because then it has control over you. And that's what mammon does. So what does mammon do when he gets control? The spirit of mammon then manipulates you because it knows it's in control. It manipulates you. I've seen people do it their wills. If you don't do what I say, you don't go on the career path I want you to go on. Mom and I are taking you out of the will. I saw this happen when I was in Bible college. Kids who came out of families that didn't know Jesus Christ, their parents had a career path for them, and they got out to follow God in the ministry, and they got cut out of the will. Mammon. I see people do it in church sometimes. If they don't do what I tell them to do, I'm just going to keep my money. Mammon. It's mammon. It's spirit mammon. Because it uses fear. It uses manipulation. But guess what? Jesus is identifying two spirits, and he says, here's what happens. You choose which spirit you want on your life, including your finances. The spirit of God or the spirit of mammon that will manipulate, use fear, and make you think, if I get this thing, I will be happy. And it doesn't work. So here's what happens when you surrender it to the spirit of God. Ready? Money surrendered, or even relationships, you put it, whatever you want to put it, marriage, whatever. Money surrendered to God and his purpose multiplies and cannot be devoured. Do you know why? Because the spirit of mammon isn't on it. The spirit of God gets on it. You can't serve God in money, but you can serve God with money. And he says, I put a different spirit on your relationships, your marriages, your job, your careers, and even your money. And he says, you choose which spirit gets on it. How many know, friends, we want the spirit of God to get on everything we have so it flourishes. Our marriages, our relationships, our careers, our money, it flourishes for God. we have to decide. And how do we decide? How do we? What we worship is Lord, and what's Lord controls. So let's go back to this for a moment. Now, given that, that worship, that honor is talking about worship and lordship and control. That's what it's talking about. Given that, let's go back to what's happening to these people. And let me give you this point. When you withhold honor from God, only harms you. Withholding honor from God only harms you. So honor isn't just talking about finances. It's talking about, what does God say about this issue in my dating relationship? What does it mean about my career path? What does it mean with every situation? Honor means I put God first. I worship him. When you or I dishonor, it only brings harm to us. It never helps, folks. Come on, how many of you have ever discovered that? It took a long time for me to learn it, but when you don't honor God, you will never win. So put it in there with you. When you don't honor God in your marriage, you don't honor God in obedience of just your private life, it's going to harm you. And when you don't honor God with the worship of the tithe or the offering, even your finances, it will harm you and affect every area of your life. So stay with me on this for a moment. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So there's another minor prophet that is addressing another group of people that have come out of this Babylon. Remember, the spirit of mammon is what they're used to. We're going to lose everything. That's what God's Haggai is saying to him. You think you're going to lose everything because you still got the spirit of mammon. You're saved, if you will, born again, but you still got the spirit of mammon controlling you. So now he's talking through Malachi, a minor prophet, to the same group of people who've been in the same captivity, okay? Let me show you something. We're going to go to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Oh, great, he's going to go to Malachi 3. Don't hold all the tithe, da, 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 da. Yes, I am. Thank you. Amen. But see, here again, I'm telling you, the enemy is real cool. He throws your scent off with this because you've seen abuses in the church, in the church world. Now, I'm not going to be deluded about this one bit. I'm telling you, there are people out there that have taken the teaching of the Lord and abused it for their own personal gain. They're out there, folks. I'm telling you. You see it all the time, okay? But what the enemy does is throw your scent off, and you don't understand why things are falling apart in your life. It has to do with honor. And he wants to throw your scent off. That's why he's got you on, oh, he's going to talk about money. You stay with me for a moment, because I'm going to show you that this is affecting you, why it's affecting you in this way, why there's holes in the pockets of your relationships. So watch this. God gets to the real issue. Let's go to verse 6. Here we go. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priests. Everybody say priests. So he's talking to all the preacher boys. He's talking to the pastors. He said, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You know, it's really crazy, folks, that people don't even see it. Sometimes you and I don't see it. You know, it's one thing when you know you're doing something stupid, so you self-correct. It's another thing when you're doing something stupid, you don't know you're doing something stupid, and you keep doing something stupid. Now watch this. He said, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? Watch. You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. So remember, the context is the Old Testament. Jesus hasn't come, so they sacrifice offerings to God, animals to God, to merely cover the sins, pointing that there's going to be one called a super lamb, Jesus, that will wipe out the sins. These only cover sins. His is a cancel sin. It's a picture of what's coming. And when they'd offer the animal on a sacrifice, the fragrance was worship unto God, honor, worship to God. He says, but you, you're doing it, you're showing up to church, if you will. You're coming into the temple, but you're giving me defiled stuff. Let me explain defiled stuff. The teaching of first fruit, or the tithe, was you give the first and the best to God, and the rest he blesses. What they would do is they'd get a lamb, or whatever animal it was to sacrifice, and they would come up, and they'd sacrifice that, but then God was watching. They didn't know he was watching, but guess what they were giving him? They were giving him defiled animals. That means they were given animals that were blind. They were giving him lambs that had broken legs. They give him sheep that were sickly and almost dying, and they said, hey, they're going to die anyway. Let's give this to God. What they were giving him was leftovers. Everybody say leftovers. They were giving him leftovers. They didn't think God saw it. So they sit there and go, we're not going to give God a good one. Hey, give him that lamb over there. You mean Snowball? No, not Snowball. Give him this one over here. The one with one eye and three legs. Give him that one. We call him Lucky. Give him Lucky. And that's what they were doing. And they were given to God, and God saw it. So watch this progression. Watch this progression. They're giving God leftovers. Now watch what he does. He then goes after the preachers. You think he's dealing with you? You think Pastor Sam's preaching is to the point and gets right into you? You ought to see what he does to me. He goes after the preachers and says, in chapter 2, he tells them, he jumps them out. And he says, you spiritual leaders, you know what you've done? The reason these people are behaving like this is because of you. You preachers are backslidden. He says, you're pilfering from the money. He says, you're taking those things. And he said, the reason they're giving those nasty old animals is because you do it and you let them get away with it. And you minimize my preaching. You won't declare the word of God to them. You're afraid of losing the people and you're behaving in sin. And the only reason why they're doing it is they're getting it on us because you leaders are behaving backslidden and you're away from God. How can you expect them to come to God? So he's talking about leadership here. Now I'm just going to tell you something, friends. I'm going to walk upright as best I can in integrity before the Lord, let his spirit deal with me. And I pray that in my private life that this woman right here, my wife, sees it and says, I'm going to follow Sam because I watch his behavior before the Lord. And I pray my kids will do the same. And I'm going to do my best. And I pray my leaders do the same. And I pray that you do the same. I tell you, ask you to do something God wouldn't ask me to do. And I pray they do. And I'll promise you, that because I do it is not a guarantee that Brenda will follow God like I follow God. It's not a guarantee that my kids will follow God or my grandson will follow God. It's not a guarantee because I do it. But I don't do it for them, I do it for him. And I pray somehow they get it, and I hope you get it. I hope you get it. And it's not a guarantee that if you do behave in honor before God that your kids and your family and your spouse will. But I will tell you this, if I don't do it, if I don't honor God, it is a guarantee she will not, they will not, and you will not. If I'm behaving that way, I should not expect you to behave the right way. And so he is telling these preachers, you don't honor me, you don't worship me, you're ripping the people off, you're ripping God off, and they get it on us because they're just following your lead as preachers. So listen, whenever you get something, you hear it from me, you ought to see the way he did it to me. Because he loves me. He wants favor on me, Pastor JP. So he didn't stop. He goes in chapter 2, the second half. I'm going to show you progression here. See, we're making about money, but he said, you got holes in your pocket. The same people, he's basically trying to tell you, you got holes in your pocket. The second chapter, the last half of it, he goes after the husbands. He goes directly to husbands because he's talking about leadership again. And he says, here's the deal, guys. He blisters husbands and said, you want to be so quick to end your relationship with your wife. He said, you want to end it so quick. You want to end it, he says, and you just throw away every relationship you have. And he says, you need to stop and start honoring your wife like you honor me. Treat them, because women weren't treated properly in that culture. And he starts saying, you start honoring. He said, you're disrespecting your wife. You want to get out of every relationship. He's just going after him and going after him and going after him. So folks, he's trying to say something. He said, now it's affecting your relationship with your spouse. It's going to affect your relationship with your kids. Are you paying attention to this? This is not about money. Money is only speaking to the deeper things that it's affecting you. And then he gets to chapter 3 where he says, now let's talk about your cash, because that seems to be the only way you listen. He said, you're taking on third shift and you still can't make it. He says, you're still trying to figure out a way how to get ahead. You've been to one church after another church and this church doesn't even satisfy you now. You've been from one relationship to another relationship, and this relationship doesn't satisfy you. You've been to this career path, you finally got your doctorate, and you're still not satisfied. He said, there's a reason why this is happening. It's speaking to a deeper issue, and now I'm going to show you it's reflecting in your money. You can't get enough of it, and it's controlling you because you're worshiping. And then he gets in. What is he trying to say? Withholding honor from God affects, ready for this? When I withhold my honor toward God, it affects every sphere of my life. That's what he's showing them. It's affecting you nationally. It's affecting your marriages. It's affecting your homes. You're not satisfied. You're still thirsty. And when you get it, it goes right out of your pocket because there's holes in there. There's holes in your soul. So listen, if I withhold my honor toward God and it affects every sphere of my life, then what happens when I give my honor to God? It means when I give my honor to God, it blesses every sphere of my life. It blesses my marriage if I follow him. It blesses my attitude. It blesses my relationship and work. It blesses the company. It blesses my kids. It blesses every area of my life, my position. It doesn't make any difference where I am with God. I feel content because God keeps on blessing. Are you seeing this, everybody? So give him honor and blessing overtakes you. Okay, now let's go to Malachi 3:7, and here's what he says. Ever since the days of your ancestors, he said, this is nothing new. I've been dealing with you motor scooters a long time. You have scorned my decrees. Even like, see, friends, listen, whenever I hear a teaching or something that probably, and it goes to me, it's an indicator of something that I'm scorning and God's trying to get something to me. He says, my decrees, and failed to obey me. He says, now, return to me. Return to me, and I'll return to you. He said, do you know how bad I want to see you blessed in your relationships, your marriage, your money, your finances? Do you know how bad I want you to see your careers blessed? He says, if you'll return to me, honor me, ask God, what do you want first? He says, I'm going to return to you just like that. He said, blessings will start to flow in your life immediately. Don't wait till the end of the service. Don't wait till the organ starts playing just as I am with that one plea. Do it right now while you're sitting in your pew. Start saying, God, you're dealing with me about this stuff. You're talking to me. Do it right now. He says, and I'll return to you, says the Lord. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? I've been in church every Sunday. See, that's why Jesus says, watch out for all greed. He didn't say watch out for all kind of pornography. He didn't say watch out for all kinds of lust. He didn't say watch out for all drug addiction. Why would he use the word greed? Wouldn't you use something a little bit more pointing? Like fornication or something like that? Because greed is the only thing you don't see when it's gripping you. That's why. You can identify it in other people, but you never see it in yourself. And they don't see it in themselves. So Pastor Sam has to watch it because I usually don't see it when it's grabbing me. Are y'all learning anything? Or are y'all into conviction like me? You're just joining me. Okay. So he says, so how do we do this? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? He says, you have cheated me with the tithe and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. In other words, you're cheating in our relationship. So let me tell you one of the reasons why the tithe means tenth. Pastor Brent and I give our first 10% of all we earned to God. When we had our own ministry organization, it wasn't just our personal tithe, it was the organization tithing to God. Why did we do that? The same reason God wanted them to do it, because there's a spirit of mammon that's always wanting to be worshiped. It wants servants and it wants to be in control. And we made a decision. Money will not control us. We will not be a slave to the world. We won't even let relationships rule us over what our relationship with God. We won't allow it to happen. So we return the tithe and the offering to him. Why? The same reason he's trying to tell them. The spirit of mammon's been on you for 70 years. And the only way to break it off is to put me first in every arena of life. And it begins to trickle all the way through every relationship. Oh, my goodness. So, let's break it down just a little bit, okay? So, the tithe is a repeated principle in the Word of God. You'll see it. You'll see it. Now, why is it such a big deal to God? It's deeper than this. It's about what you worship, who's Lord, who controls. Watch this. Tithing, folks, is holy and sacred before God. Let me take you to a scripture. And there's a whole bunch of them, but let me take you to this one. Leviticus 27:30. Ready for this? It says, thus all the tithe of the land, so it'd be like a company, your wages, whatever. He says, all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It's holy to God, all right? The tithe is. So the tithe means tenth. So let's count out ten here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. And here comes the blessing right over there. There you go. That's the blessing. All right. Okay. All right. That's the blessing from the Lord. Blessings. Okay. So let's see. I need some help over here. I always love when young people help. Okay. So, Heather, you were on the billboard, right? She was. She was on our billboard. Did y'all see it? She's famous. She's got a sweet spirit, though. So here are 10 coins. The 10th, the first fruit, is what was holy to God. It was the best. So I got 10. These are not gold. Sorry, they're just chocolate wrapped in gold foil. Which one do you think is the holy one out of these 10? Which one do you think it is? Be careful now, because it's holy. I hope you get it right. Which, pick the one you think's holy. Pick it, go ahead. Go ahead, pick it. Yeah, okay. You're right. That was the holy one. How'd you know that? You're spiritual, aren't you? You know what was holy? Because it was the first one she picked. It's the first one she picked. Now, I'm going to show you why this is a big deal. So what this is saying, what Heather was saying, God, all 10 chocolate coins are yours, but I worship you with wholeness because I'm telling you, I break the spirit of mammon. It will never rule me. You are the God that rules my life. I give you back this first coin of my babysitting money because it's yours. So this applies to babysitters of billionaires here. Seriously. Money doesn't change who you are. It just exposes what you are. What you did with 10 cents, you'll do with 10,000. Seriously. It's because it's revealing something of the heart. That's what he's trying to show. This is holy. It's Lord. Now, guess what happens when you give the first fruit? So there's code language in the Bible. First fruit also means tithe, okay? So here's what happens. When she gives her first fruit to the Lord sees it as holy, and he's saying, she's declaring, Lord, you're Lord over everything. That means you have control, and you're the only thing I worship. I don't worship any man. I don't worship any money. I don't worship any other people. I don't worship career. You can use all that, but you're number one, God. I worship you in the relationship. When she does that, here's what happened. God blesses the rest. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says this. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the what? Everybody say it out loud. The what, everybody? The first fruits of all your crops. That means the best part of it, the first tenth. Then your barns, watch this, when you do this, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. He says, I'm trying to overtake you. Let me be Lord. That's what he's trying to say. Now let me show you why this is so powerful. Why is the rest of Heather's 10 chocolate coins going to be blessed? So this could multiply into 100 chocolate coins for you. Now, why is it going to be blessed? Because the spirit of mammon is on it. Let me show you a New Testament principle before you start saying, well, I don't believe this. The Apostle Paul writes this, and you can find this threaded throughout Scripture. This truth is repeated in the New Testament when he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 16, now watch this, the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy. Then the whole batch is holy. The whole batch wasn't holy until the first part of the dough went to God. Then the whole batch now becomes holy. If the root is given to the Lord, if the seed was put in the ground and it's holy and given to God, then the root is holy. So guess what? All the branches that come out of that root are holy. But if it's corrupted, then all the branches are corrupted. Here's what God is saying. When you put that first thing, God, and give him the best, everything coming behind it gets redeemed and is considered holy and blessed before God because you're saying it's all God's. So look at you. You're here Sunday. How many glad you came to church on Sunday? So what does that mean for me, Pastor Sam? Here's the deal. Do you know that Monday is not the first day of the week, everybody? It's not. On the calendar, the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It's called Sunday. You took your time, got the sleepy out of your eyes, ate a granola bar on the way over here. You were screaming at the kids. I get it. Just turn on the little players in the back seat. You're getting here, you got in church, but you say, we're going to be in the house of God. Guess what that means? God sees you bringing your worship with everybody. You're in the house of God. That's why I'm encouraging some of you, you need to be in the house of God. I know some of you are sick and you're on vacation and work, but if you can be in the house of God, you need to be in the house of God. Guess what happens? What God is doing for all of you in this room is he's saying, because you gave the first to me to worship me in family together, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is going to be redeemed. Start looking for God to put you in the right places with the right conversations, to give you promotion, to make you productive. I'm going to reproduce blessing because you gave the first to me. This is why the first is so important. When Pastor Brent and I, when we tithe, when it comes to our finances and tithing, not just our relationship, we don't pay any bill. When we get our paycheck, it's God, Lord, this is worship to you. Because we need you to redeem everything we touch for your glory. I'm serious. We're dead serious about it. Nobody gets worshiped. No company, no bill gets worshiped more than God. The spirit of mammon will not control us in the good times or the bad times. He's redeemed it, so we know he's going to take care of it. He's going to show us how to assimilate. He's going to show us how to allocate. He's going to show us how to put it in the right places because it's holy to him, and it gets blessed. What are you saying, Pastor Sam? That first fruit is all the way through the scripture. This is why Jesus Christ is called the firstborn of creation. Go read in the scripture. He's called the firstborn among the dead. He's called the firstborn among the resurrection. Why? Because when the firstborn was given, anything that came behind that firstborn was redeemed. When they gave an animal from their flock, here's what God says. Not just that animal you sacrificed is redeemed, but all your flocks behind it get redeemed because you gave the first. Jesus was the firstborn among the dead. He was the one that died. He was buried, but he rose from the grave and he resurrected. Here's his promise to us. Anybody that comes under salvation to me, he said, every single one of you, God doesn't see you, he sees me. So since I've been redeemed, all of you get redeemed when you come under me. And because I resurrected from the dead, guess what? Your body's going to resurrect from the dead and you're going to be with me. Why? Because you are under the one that is the firstborn son of all of us, and his name is Jesus Christ. Are you seeing this? It's all the way through scripture. That's why when we talk about the tithe before the Lord, he says, when you don't honor me, it's affecting other things because they're not redeemed. Amen. Let your marriage be redeemed by honoring. Let your dating relationship be redeemed by honoring. Let your career path be honored. Give it to God, the talents to God, glory to God, your finances, give it to God. So everything that comes behind it is redeemed because it belongs to him. Is this making sense? So if withholding honor from God harms me, then giving honor to God blesses me. I'm coming in for a landing, and you're going to like it. Who wants to be blessed? Look what he says in verse 10 now. Now we get to verse 10. He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? The storehouse for the priest was the place where ministry is done, people touched by the presence of God. So that's like when you're in church and you're in community. The tithe comes here so we can minister, bring the presence of God, teaching, disciple people. The storehouse is not your third cousin twice removed that's a missionary in Mambawamba. That's offerings beyond the tithe. It's for the ministry in that local community to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tithing is not paying the tuition of your child's Christian education. That's a service you are purchasing. It is not a tithe. He says, this is holy before me in my storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple that everybody can eat spiritually and grow. Watch this. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, ready for this? I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Come on, try it, everybody. Put me to the test, God says. Just try to honor me in every relationship and watch it happen. Watch the blessing. You don't know what to do with it. Do what he tells you and honor him in every realm, including your resources. Don't give him leftovers. Now, how many of you have ever been to a wedding? How many of you are married? Raise your hands. Married. Let me see all the married people. Hold it proud. Be proud about it. Come on. Lift your hand. Both of you raise your hand, please. Okay. Let's make sure you're both into this. Okay. Okay. How many of you have ever been to a wedding? Okay. Young people, all been to a wedding too? Okay. So you'll get this. So Brenda and I remember our wedding very well. There we were. husband and wife. Yes. 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 The reason why it's so hazy around me is I didn't want you to see all my imperfections. That's the reason why it's airbrushed. We still got it, baby. Look at that. We had big hair, didn't we? Big hair. I shaved my head one day. I lost 30 pounds. It was amazing. A lot of hair. So at the wedding, we have the ceremony. We receive people, and then there's a reception. Cake comes out. How many love cake at weddings? I love cake. Oh, cake's a wonderful thing. It's a food group. Do you know what the cake really is in a wedding? Some people think, oh, it's just dessert to feed a bunch of hungry people that gave us toasters. Okay, blenders. Okay, but you know what the cake is? What some of you don't know is, when, you know when they share the cake and they link arms, wrap it, and they feed each other? It's people take it as a gag, but that is literally a covenant practice clear back into the Old Testament. Because it literally meant, I will provide for you and protect you. I will provide and protect you. It means everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. So it's actually covenant. Now, when you have the cake, who's the guests of honor at a wedding? And who's the cake for? For the bride and groom. But just like our wedding, your wedding, how many of you said things got delayed from the time of the ceremony to get to the reception? All these hungry people that are wishing they could eat are starting to question if they should have got you a toaster because they're still hungry, you haven't fed them. And let's say you're out there taking pictures and you're greeting people and people end up waiting in there, okay? But let's say they're all gathered around the cake and they're waiting for the bride and they're waiting for the groom to return. But we get delayed taking pictures. But they're hungry and it's just taking too long for the groom and his bride to return. And they see the cake of covenant, of provision, and they're getting hungry. And it's taking so long for the groom to return. So they start thinking, we're hungry, man. We don't know when they're going to get here. Let's eat. And they start ripping into that cake. We're out there greeting people. Just imagine your own wedding. Just imagine your own wedding. This happening to you. They're just eating all they want. They're not thinking about you out there. They're just starving because it's just taking so long for the groom to come back. And then we get to hold this stuff that's for the groom. It's given by the groom. And pretty soon, that worship team, somebody needs to feed them. I'm telling you. And all of a sudden, they just keep walking away with it. So finally, let's say you or your wife or Brenda and I, we get done with our wedding and we're looking at our beautiful cake that's a symbol of covenant to exchange of provision, and that provision comes from God. And we turn around and we're looking and people are walking out with the cake. And we walk in. There you go. And they hand to Pastor Brendan and me and say, we say, what? Where's our cake? Oh. Wait, we saved this piece for you, Sam and Brenda. No, just think about it. You get done with your wedding. You're the ones to be honored. But it's taken too long for the groom to return. And so the longer I hold this and possess this cake, I want to own it and eat it. But then we tell him, we saved you a piece. What they've given me was what was left over. They gave me a one-eyed, three-legged lamb called Lucky. Let me ask you something, ma'am. Let me ask you something, sir. If that happened at your wedding, what would you do? What would you do? How would you feel? Tell me, how would you feel, honestly? I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd go find their toaster and beat their head in with their toaster. Stick that blender like a cap on their head and say, get out of here. Why? Why? Because you and your bride were the one to be worshiped. My dear brother, my dear sister, would you hear this just for a moment? There are holes that get in our pockets. We come out of bondage and we're wondering why things are slipping through. But maybe they're slipping through because maybe what we've done is we took our slice that belonged to him. And we said, but we saved you a piece. Its name is Lucky. And after everybody else gets taken care of, they're the ones worshipped and adored and control us, so he gets what's left over. Could it be the reason why we are living with holes in our relationships and pockets? But how many know God is always saying, come on, return to me. I want you to get this. How many thank God he's always been kind to you and me when we've just blown it? So guess what he does? He starts all over again, and here comes God coming around the corner, and he blesses us with a Cyrus, and he brings us another cake, and he puts that cake before us. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. And you're getting all excited. We got the bill paid. We got a pay raise. We made the graduation. Oh, and we finally get the cake, and all of a sudden we go, okay, oh, man, this looks amazing. This looks delicious. Ooh, I can't wait to get into this cake. This is amazing. Oh, this is so good. God is so good. Ooh, and he's delicious too. And we just take it and we start taking that cake out. And then we get ready to start driving into it. And then we stop. Lord, I know it seems like the groom hasn't come yet. And I think I own this career. And I own this relationship, and I own this money. I could, you know, Lord, I've got my Hulu subscription and my Netflix subscription, and you know they put out Disney Plus. No, I'm telling you, this is really how we're living. See, the neighbors got that car, and the kids said, "Why can't we get one like that?" Well, if you'd like for me to put you kids up as collateral like they did, we can do it. But then you take it and you say, God, I honor you. And you lay it before him and say, Lord, this isn't yours. All of this is yours. You're in control, God. You're in control. So I lay it down as worship because I love you in this relationship. I lay it down. And the moment I lay it down, he's over there laying down another piece of cake. And I start seeing the ability to start saving, putting a little away for kids' graduation and putting away for the car and putting this and not getting greedy and not having to have everything, but I'd start putting away. Then I said, you know, wait a minute. You know, if God was able to give me that promotion and that pay raise and, you know, I've been honoring him. You know, I heard that they were going to build some churches on the Amazon but God, I gave you the tithe, but I bet you I can give an offering. Because, Lord, you own it all, and you want me to do that? Okay, I'll do it. And so you start getting into that cake, and you say, Lord, oh, this is good. Lord, I give this to you. You want me to do a missionary, Father? You know, you start blessing me. I could do $5 a month a missionary, God. And you start bringing this, and God starts seeing how you handle things that you don't, you rule it. And when you lay it down before him, he lays down another one. He starts adding all these blessings unto you. Then all of a sudden, you go and the Lord starts saying, I want you to go help. I want you to go help the homeless just for a moment. I want you to go over there, not just volunteer with your money, but I want you to serve me with your time. I want you to go over there and I want you to go feed the poor. I want you to go do something. Go, you can do that. You can go sponsor that child in that country. And you say, but Lord, what about me? He says, well, I'll tell you what. You know, you've been so blessed. I'll let you take a little bite of it. This looks delicious, by the way. Good. Ooh, fluffy, light, good spongy, buttercream, M&M Bakery made this. Ooh, it's good, delicious. Said, I'll even let you eat some of it. The Lord, it's all yours. I got some extra time. I can do something, Lord. I can give up that fifth cup of Starbucks I'm having today. Turn it over to you. Lord, I think I can do this. I lay it down. He keeps laying down more cake. And you can't stop him because it's his nature. You can't stop him. And I'm telling you, when you start realizing he's honored and worshiped, you start realizing all of it is his. The marriage, everything is his. And I'm just going to obey him in this. I'm going to obey him in the relationships. I'm going to obey him in my finances. And I give it all back to him. And man, when I give that tithe and I give it to him, I don't even lick the frosting off my fingers if it's his. It's yours, Lord. And then you start watching him. And he starts blessing all these other areas of your life. He starts lining up. Not because you're paying or bribing him, but he sees no one's in control. I'm their shepherd and they follow my voice in everything. I encourage some of y'all, don't hand him a piece and wonder why things aren't working out. He said, that's what you've done to me. But he says, return. I'll keep laying more cakes. Watch how you handle every resource, every relationship. Watch me bless you. You know what I think we ought to do? How about we just give some praise to him and just make it an offering to him right now. Just say, we're just going to give it to you right now, Lord.